Hi, everyone. I'm Eleanor, and you're listening to Sweet Deviation, the podcast designed to help you navigate, organize, and get creative while living with ADD. In each episode, I'll share personal stories, tricks, and insights that I've used to break through daily challenges. And together, we will lean into the diagnosis and stop fighting our natural tendencies. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 6. We are making some good progress here, and I am excited that you're here with me today. Today, we're going to talk about lack of direction. And I know that's really broad to start, but I wanted to share this idea with you about not being able to have two thoughts that occupy our mind at the same time. I have been told before, you know, that we should try to multitask. Multitasking was all the rage. And I do think that to a certain degree, because our brains kind of flip from one idea to the other, that it may appear that we're multitasking. But I think that we're just really good at like thinking of things in succession, like really quick succession. But the truth of the matter is that no two thoughts can occupy our minds at the same time. If you don't believe me, give it a try. Just think of anything right now. And then think of the opposite of that. You can't think of those things together. One after the other, yes, but not at the same time. So I want to tell you that as someone who has ADD, I have found that my brain flips from the one channel to the other rather quickly. And that's what causes me to feel unfocused a lot of times. And it also helps my brain to kind of hijack the ideas. If I'm working in one direction, it hijacks that thought and takes me on a different plane. And I only can speak from my experience because I've only always had this brain, right? So this is the only information that I've been able to gather. And I had just assumed that everybody felt the same way. And I would see people who could focus on a task or have the same job for 40 years. And it just mind-boggling to me that anybody could have that amount of focus. So because I had witnessed that other people could do it and I couldn't, I just assumed that I was broken. So if you've been here long enough, you know my story. I won't get into how I was diagnosed or what brought me to start this podcast. But I'll tell you about something that occurred to me this morning. I was reminded of a story that I once heard during a management conference. And it basically it goes like this. It asks, if an ant is traveling west on the back of an elephant that is traveling east, which way is the ant traveling? So sit with that for a second. So ant is traveling west, elephant is traveling east. I think we can all agree that no matter how hard the little ant tries, he is going to be traveling toward the direction of the elephant because those giant steps are moving him unwittingly in the wrong direction. So we might not even realize that it's happening, but I equate this to our negative self-talk and our sabotaging tendencies that can be like that damned elephant. So our little ant legs, or our really wanting to focus, can be working really hard to move us in the direction of our goals, but the booming sounds of the elephant or our negative self-talk is taking us way off course. I don't use the analogy in any way to suggest that we're small or insignificant, not at all. On the contrary, I just want us to know that we have the power to take the reins and turn the elephant around. So you have to align yourself with your true nature. We're not fighting this. We need to understand it and we need to work with it. So I'll give you a little bit of background. Personally, I think I mentioned, and you might remember that I said that I had epileptic seizures. I started having them when I was about 6 months old. And for the part of my life that my parents were home between the age, like from birth until probably 9 years old. No, it was probably after that, because I do remember having gone to see a specialist when I was in the fifth grade. My fifth grade teacher made a big to-do about it because they thought something was wrong with my brain and I had to go get EEGs. And there were a lot of things that I was having to not participate in at school because of my seizures. And this was after my brother passed away. So I kind of tend to think about life before he died and after. So this was definitely after about fifth grade was the last time that I can remember having had a doctor take a look at it through my EEGs and whatnot. And I was medicated until, you know, my parents divorced and we woke up one morning and my mom was just gone. By then, my dad was remarried and nobody took the reins. Nobody continued to get my medication. So I just kind of floated through the rest of my sixth grade and, you know, middle school and whatnot without being cared for in that way. So I had heard that some of the medication caused me to have a really bad sense of direction. Now, these were during the days when we didn't have internet, so I couldn't just look it up and see if that was true. But I did notice that I had a terrible lack of direction. So it's kind of hard to turn an elephant around when you don't really honestly know where you are going. And one of the things that I remember is having my cousin call. I was away at college and I'd come home to visit, and my cousin called and said, "Hey, we're all going to go to grandma's house. Meet us there." And I had an old Chevy Chevelle then. And I was lost. I was lost in my own hometown. Could not remember how to get to my grandmother's house. And the embarrassment of it, because first of all, I didn't learn to drive in my hometown. I didn't get my driver's license until I was in my 20s in college. So that's one thing. I didn't learn how to drive there. But I had been to my grandmother's house like my whole life up until then. And I remember the shame that I had. I pulled over and I just cried because I felt like, how stupid can you be? You can't even remember how to get to grandma's house. So this is long before we had cell phones. I couldn't call somebody to help me. And I just wound up not going. I just was too embarrassed to ask for help and admit that this was a real problem that I had. And I felt super alone in that. And when you're alone in something, I think that it kind of, you cloak yourself in that shame. So it wasn't until years later that I felt like I needed to just be honest about it. Like, you could joke and say, yeah, I have a terrible sense of direction. I had friends who knew this. My first husband worked for a packaging company for a long time. He was in management. So he absolutely knew the ins and out of any city we ever lived in. He knew it by zip code. And I could just call and say, hey, listen, this is where I'm at. Where do I go? Like, turn by turn, how do you get me out of here? Get me home. So he was really patient with that. And, but it was still embarrassing, right? And it was one of those things that still came up, you know, when there was discord. So then it became less comfortable really to ask for help. And thank God for GPS, because when I first had, I had a Jaguar. That was the first car that I had that had like internal GPS in the car. And I felt free. You know, I can just plug in an address and it would tell me exactly where to go. So that was pretty awesome until my divorce. And then I just couldn't afford that car anymore. So here I am now, single with two kids, and I'm trying not to cry every time I'm out, you know, even running simple errands, because I'm afraid of getting lost with my kids in the vehicle. And I think some of that anxiety, I mean, they were very aware of, and we've joked about it, but it was still something that was kind of a trauma for me, certainly. And I think maybe to my kids who have had to sit in the background, in the back seat, you know, wondering if we're going to get home. But anyhow, that was just one of the examples. And it's just something that has been kind of a torture for me to admit, because it's embarrassing. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention when my dad was driving us back and forth to his mom's house. I might have just been so distracted or daydreaming in the car, or maybe trying to kind of escape in my own mind some of the stuff that was going on around us during that time. So that could be one of the reasons why it just never kind of impressed on my brain this direction to my grandmother's. But here's another example. When I was working, I was a district sales manager for a very large company, and we had a company car. I did have GPS then, and my aide was in the car with me, and we were going to have to go and make a house call. And I was so lost, and I was embarrassed, because this is somebody who saw me as her boss, and I had always kind of exuded confidence in the sales room and in our sales training meetings. But in the car behind that wheel, I just turned into mush. I was just so afraid that I was going to get lost with this person as witness in my car. And what I wound up doing is this is downtown Houston, by the way, and I wound up turning, it was a wrong way, basically. That's what happened. I turned wrong way on a one-way street, and I wound up having to take us onto a sidewalk in order to avoid incoming traffic. So fortunately, she was a super sweet lady, and we laughed about it, and I did tell her, like, you know, please don't say anything, but this, honestly, I could have killed us both that day. And she, to my knowledge, she never really said anything about it, but she also never volunteered to come out on a sales call with me. So there's that. The point being that it was something that played in my head. Even though I can convince myself that I was making my numbers and I was really respected by my group of ladies that I worked with, the fact of the matter is I was still in the background wondering when the truth was going to be revealed because I was so ashamed of this thing. So I share these things because I want you to know that it's not something I read in a book. This is truly my experience. So what I have found is I needed to counter that. One of the first books that I read, this is years ago before my diagnosis, I had felt like I needed to. I told you I have a ton of self-help books. One of the books was a cognitive behavioral kind of changing some of those things. I was always too afraid to admit going to a therapist. My first husband had made it very, very clear that if he saw any sign of instability in me, the first thing he was going to do was take my children away. And I was so afraid. That was the absolute worst thing that he could have threatened me with. And he used that tool for years and uses it even now, sadly. But here I am, right, in all my glory, exposing all of my flaws so that maybe one day he listens to this podcast and he can, you know, whatever. But back to my point. In this book, it talked about negating those things, right? So if you have a behavior that's negative, you need to counter it with a positive counter to that. So first, I felt like I need to clarify my vision. If I don't know where I'm headed, then, you know, I don't know what direction. Am I the ant or the elephant? Like, what's going on? So I encourage you to first clarify your vision. We have not yet gone into how to do that on a major scale. And I will, because I have some really great tools, but I just haven't managed to figure out how I'm going to say these things without showing you. So I might have to make like a, I don't know, I'll put a clickable link so that you guys can take a look at what I'm talking about, maybe, or have a PDF that y'all can download. But that hasn't happened yet. But so the first thing is to clarify your vision and to consistently change the elephant's talk, right? In this case, it would be the negative self-talk or those things that we do that sabotage ourselves, and replace it with the opposite. So we talked about that in our coping cards, that you have to argue the truth, right, to whatever lie you're telling yourself. Negative self-talk can be countered with positive self-talk. And it may not come naturally, and that's why the affirmation cards should also be used as part of your coping cards. So argue against your negative voice until you finally turn that elephant around. And when you're in a good frame of mind, write those affirmations down to yourself. It takes practice, especially if you've been in the negative loop for years, like I have, and like most people with ADD might be. You have to interrupt the negative thought patterns and behaviors. So because we can only have the one thought at a time, this actually is great because you only have to slay one dragon, right? You only have to change that one negative thought at a time. So choose positivity. When you start to feel it come up, say, nope, not today. You got to pull the reins on that elephant and turn him around. He's got to go the direction that you're headed. And I say it's an elephant because it's not going to be easy. You're going to really have to focus on getting that done and noticing and listening to what that inner voice is saying to you. But some of the things that you can do are the coping cards. And in the affirmations, I'm going to give you an example of an affirmation that I've used and that I have in my coping card stack. It was a particular day where I was feeling kind of down. And I thought, like, what am I feeling today? That's a typical, you should be familiar with that. What am I feeling and what triggered it? So the what am I feeling? I was afraid. I didn't believe in myself. I don't finish anything. I'm disorganized. I'm stuck. So I thought, okay, after I did all of the steps, I argued against it. I thought I'm gonna have a positive statement. Take all of those things, turn them upside down, and make a positive statement that I can refer to quick and easily. So this is what my affirmation was like. And I know it may sound corny, but it has worked for me. So take it, leave it. It might be a little too woo-woo. I get it. But here it is. My affirmation. And I noted there that I should tell myself like 12 times a day because it's practice, right? This is me trying to grab the reins on that elephant. I am daring to be better. I take risks and believe in the power of the universe. And then in parentheses, I wrote God because, you know, we're all included here. Let me go back. I am daring to be better. I take risks and believe in the power of the universe, God, to protect me as it draws me closer to my good. I finish my work with care. I'm organized, I organize my tasks, and I am productive. My work is satisfying, my future is bright. So, you know, that's nothing earth-shattering there. But on that particular day, I remember reading it and starting to believe it. I slowly was able to turn that elephant, and I continue to read this card because I remember the day that I wrote it, and it helped. So if you can find the time to negate those things, and you're worth having, you know, make the time to do it, keep it on those index cards, hole punch them so that you can refer back to them. If you write this down on a piece of paper and it gets lost in your desk or accidentally gets tossed away, it's not going to help you. So we need to start getting in the habit of doing things that are going to be useful to us. And for me, I suggest the index cards. They work. The little clip on them, you can clip them on a notebook. I just don't lose those cards. I lost them once and all of us were freaking out. Like I had Jim looking like me, Jim, and all the voices in my head, I guess. But I said, like, I can't find my cards and I'm not having a great day. Can you help me find them? And he's such a great sport. We walked around and he looked in all the right places, right? The top of my desk, you know, in my bookshelves, in the kitchen, in my knitting bag. And we couldn't find these cards. And they were clipped on the clipboard where I put them. And that's when I thought, like, ah, yes, that makes sense. You know, here I was trying to be organized that day. And now that's where they live. They're attached to the clipboard. And I only unclip them when I'm using them and put them back when I'm done. So all of this to tell you that that's the answer. It's simple. The elephant is big, yes, but you have the control. If you haven't heard about the coping cards, go back. Gosh, I think it was episode 3 or podcast 3. Listen to that and it talks about the coping cards. I'll also link it in the show notes. So if you haven't already, just click on the show notes and you'll get more information there. Some of the elephants that you may, if you're someone with ADD that you may have to get back in line, are impulsivity, distractibility, the big FOMO, the fear of missing out, procrastination, getting bored, getting impatient. And so I suggest that if these things start to happen, be aware of them. Make yourself responsible for turning it around and countering the negative activity that you're doing and choosing to reframe your thoughts so that it's taking you in the right direction. So a lot of these things are going to be repetitive. I understand that. But I think that that's the answer, right? I mean, it was the same way of all the times that I took that drive to my grandmother's and I didn't pay attention. Had I paid attention, I mean, I don't know if that's true. I mean, it might have been something completely different because I do have a terrible sense of direction. But now I think I have a little control to choose to really be aware of the direction that I'm headed so that the more I do it, the more it kind of is ingrained in my mind and my brain, and it helps me to get there easily. So I encourage you, even though you've heard me say these things, you'll likely hear me say them again because I think it's important. It's the repetition that's going to kind of help us to it's going to just become second nature and we'll adapt to these new behaviors. So in that vein, I'm going to repeat a couple of things that I've said before. I do suggest that you use the index cards. I like the size of the card because you can't overwhelm yourself with a long list of to-dos. It's usually pretty manageable for the day. And I do hole punch them, put them on the ring so that I can, I don't do the index cards on the ring. I do my coping cards on the ring with my affirmations and other notes that I find that are helpful to me, quotes or whatever. Everybody's coping cards will be different. That's expected. But I want to recap that the small index cards for your to-do list should be kept small on the small index card so they're not overwhelming and the paper has a little weight to it so they're less likely to get lost. And the timer, many of you might think like, oh yeah, I'll just put it on my phone. I really suggest if you have an old school timer, and I have mine right here. So I'm going to give it a little sound so you guys know what I'm talking about. It's one of these babies. I don't know if you can hear that. It sounds like is it 2020 or Dateline? I don't know. I don't know what TV show does. Oh, 60 Minutes. Hello. And then you have the buzzer, that little guy. I use that because if I use my phone, and I sometimes do in a pinch, hey Siri, set the timer for blah. But if I have it in my hands to set the timer, Almost every single time, I wind up crushing candy, I check my email, I start scrolling Twitter, and it's 45 minutes later and I forgot what I was going to do in that set of time. So do yourself a favor. If you can get a timer like this, then you won't have the distractions from, you know, that little computer in our hands that has so many magical things that can get us off course. If you don't have a timer like this, try to do the hands-off method where you say, hey, Siri, you know, set timer for 15 minutes or whatever, because that'll keep you from getting distracted and getting lost in the weeds. So I want you to, you know, take it in, use what works, toss away what doesn't. But in any case, I'm curious to hear from you. If you have something that you'd like to share, I'm always open to that because I feel like that's really what's going to be key to us learning more about ADD. I'm glad that we can talk about it. I'm glad that this is a safe space that we don't have to carry shame about it. Finally saying out loud that I couldn't find my way to my grandmother's is pretty significant. So count yourselves in good company, because I finally found the space for myself that I could say it out loud. And I am sharing this secret with all of you because I trust that the good that'll come of it is worth whatever shame I might have felt. So I offer it here for you, and I look forward to spending more time with you and also enjoying Sweet Deviations. Thanks for listening. Y'all have a great day.